And we have come to, the Amalekites got defeated. We had the Yodevavhe Nisi message on the banner. And now we come to this guy. This is wild. I'm telling you, I got so excited reading this chapter 18 of Exodus. We come to this guy named Yitro. Y'all know Yitro? Yitro. Anybody known anybody named Yitro? You can say Jethro if you want. Okay, but nobody knows for sure what a Midianite priest, if you notice chapter 18 there, what a Midianite priest did or who exactly he was serving. We just don't know. But the main point in this chapter to see is that he declares Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh to be the greatest of all gods. So we do have whatever he used to be, he is now a worshiper of Hashem, the God of Israel. Okay? Now this is Moshe's father-in-law, you all know. And Moshe, when he fled Egypt, lived there for 40 years and had two sons, remember? Gershom, which means alien, I have become an alien in a foreign land, and Eliezer, which means God is my help. Lazor is help in Hebrew as a verb. And in verse 9, it's going to say, Jethro is happy to hear all the good things the Lord has done for Israel. All right, so we'll just go right to the meat of this chapter. And as I told you last week, your name will be changed again today. But in verse 10, it says, praise be to the Lord, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, who rescued you from the hand of the Mitzrim, the Egyptians and Pharaoh, and who rescued the people from the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all other gods, for he did this to those who had treated Israel arrogantly. So this is the great thing that Yitro said. Whatever he used to be, he is now a worshiper of Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, the Lord. Okay, so he was a priest, and we don't know for sure, but he may have been worshiping the one true God as a priest already, but now knows him as the God of Israel. But we just don't know for sure. But now that he is worshiping the God of Israel, I changed his name to Pastor Jeth. I can do that. As I can change your name in a little bit. So, but that's the context of chapter 18. Jethro shows up, but also very important to see in this verse 11 again, the second part is God did to those who treated Israel arrogantly. So here Yitro, the alien, the non-Israelite, is saying that the God of Israel did this to the people that mistreated Israel. Wow, could we have him in the UN today? Don't we need him today? See, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh is the great God who destroyed Egypt, for they mistreated Israel. They mistreated God's firstborn son, as we saw in the Exodus. God calls Israel his firstborn son. And so now we can change Jethro's name again from Pastor Jethro. Now we can change his name to a God-fearing Zionist goy. Did you catch that? He's a Zionist. Zion. And he's goy. And he fears Hashem. So he is a God-fearing Zionist goy. Now, do you know anybody else like that? Anybody here know anybody like that? Look around. Look in the mirror. You're a God-fearing? Are you Zionist? Oh, man, this is great. So now I can give you your new name. Say Shmi. Yitro. I am Jethro. Because I am a God-fearing Zionist goy. Unless you're Jewish here today, you're a Zionist goy that fears God. That is everything you need to know. All right, so listen, are you delighted to hear the Lord is blessing his people? Are you delighted to hear that the Lord is against Israel's enemies? Do you believe Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh is greater than all other gods? Your name is Yitro. But these words in verse 11 are almost identical to another goy that we love, who I already named you. And you all know that is your name is Naaman. Naaman. Remember Naaman's dirt. I tell you, I got so excited doing that message, I might have to do it again. My third book will be out here in a month, and I want to get in my fourth book. I wanted all this in my third book, and they said it'd be 300 pages. You'd have to charge $30. It won't sell. We're making two books. Ugh. But anyway, Naaman's dirt is going to be a chapter in the fourth book. Isn't that exciting? What a name for a book, Naaman's dirt. You guys are crazy. Yes, but the picture of Naaman's dirt is the best picture of you in the Bible. Now, everybody knows in the body of Mashiach that your root, of course, your root, but root actually lived in the land and married into the family. So that picture is great, but Naaman lived outside the land. And so the picture of what Naaman wanted to do, it says, I will never worship again on foreign soil in a pagan context. I will ask for holy dirt, and I will take it back to Syria, and I will worship at my altar on Israeli soil because I'm no longer pagan. See, you are Naaman so much. Don't tell people you're Syrian. Just tell them you're Naaman because you got dirt. You worship on Israeli foundation, not Roman foundation. All right, your name is Naaman, and now you're Yitro, and also your root, and also which brings up now what Yitro is a forerunner of is also Cornelius, who was a foreigner that, what? Loved Israel, loved the Jewish people. God picked him as the first goy to ever be filled with the Ruach HaKodesh. Who's God picked to fill, the first one to ever fill with the Holy Spirit? How could he pick somebody who blessed Israel? So your name is Cornelius. Say, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Roman soldier blessing Israel. Only God could. Oh, man. All right, verse 12 is a picture. I got so excited on this verse 12. Oh, Lord. Then that we have this picture. Now, having established that now that Yitro is a God-fearing Zionist goy, now God gives us a picture. And this picture blew my socks this week. The house fell in. I blew and shot over the interstate in one leap. I tell you, I got excited. That's hyperbole. But I got so excited because what does verse 12 say? Then Yitro, Moses' father-in-law, brought a burnt offering and other sacrifices to God. So he brings an offering and sacrifices to God, and also Aaron and the elders ate bread in the presence of God. What do you have when you have a God-fearing Zionist goy joining Israel? You have a picture. The goy brings the offering, and all the elders of Israel eat bread together, and it says, in the presence of God. This is a prophetic picture. This is how the goy joining Israel begins, because this is the birth of Israel, essentially, when they came out of Egypt and were 6 weeks or so out of the Exodus. And we have the first goy joining with Israel as a Zionist, and he brings offering. And this is how it begins. And so Jew and Gentile eat together in the presence of God. Ooh. This is how it starts, and this is how it ends. See, this verse hasn't been fulfilled yet. In part today, it is being fulfilled. But in the end of time here, soon, it will once again be Jew and Gentile. But notice who brings the offering. Who brings the sacrifice? Who brings the sacrificed Lamb of God to Israel? See, the goy. The goy brings the sacrifice. And then they all eat together. Now, when you eat together in Judaism, you enter into covenant with each other. You are no longer just friends. You are now covenant family relationship. And it says, in the presence of God. So this is a perfect picture of the body of Mashiach, beginning in the book of Acts, but only ending when Messiah comes. This verse will be fulfilled. Jew and Gentile with a sacrifice, eating a meal together. Now, this is before chapter 19 at Sinai, which will be the Moses covenant, which is the next text here, which is 7-week mark, right? And let me say, it will be at the end soon. It's a prophetic picture of the end times and the return of Messiah. Let me say that today's Jewish roots movement is pictured here with Yitro. Bringing sacrifice to Israel in the presence of God. We bring Yeshua and we eat together as one family in the presence of Hashem. So this verse has some fulfillment as it begins Israel's history here with this picture. So it is being partially fulfilled right now by you. And it will be fulfilled by you in the day of the Lord. So I had to ask, what is this bread? They had no bread. So is this bread manna, which is Messiah? Right? We already saw the bread is Messiah. And so we eat this bread. It is my body broken for you type thing. Maybe you can go there. In this picture, though, it's the Jew and the Gentile doing communion together in the kingdom, in the presence of God. Eating a meal, being in covenant relationship with each other. And so this is what I saw in this one verse that I've read over 100 times and never thought much about it. Yeah, they ate. But they ate this in the presence of God with the goy, and the goy is the one that brought the sacrifice. It's an amazing picture, isn't it? So how many times we've done this already with Israel? We ate at Jeremy's house at his daughter's dedication. And here you had all these Orthodox Jewish people there, all these observant Jews, and all the women are separated from the guys. And I thought, I got a busload of people. Oh, Lord, this is awkward. This is awkward. We pull up in front of Jeremy Yahu's house. And I go, now, I'm telling you guys got to behave. Watch what you do. You can't touch the ladies. I mean, all this stuff, don't be saying Jesus or shouting Jesus. Jesus, this is good food or something. I mean, you just behave and watch what you're doing. And said, this is extreme situation. These Christian goys going to a dedication at this rabbi's house with all these other rabbis. And, oh, I was scared. I walked up to the house and Jeremy opens the door. Marty! I was terrified. Come in, come in. And we were like guests of honor to all these people. There wasn't a Christian in the house till I walked in the door. But see, we ate there together. I tell you, we're so blessed these days. I don't know why God is so nice to us. And we eat at the restaurant every year with Ari and Jeremy, or in the hotel restaurant, or at the restaurant on the mall there. For the last couple trips, we eat with these guys and they sat down together with them. And we're family. Mishpacha Ma'od. And when we ate at Kfar Tapuach. And those are the rowdiest Jews in the world. They let us play with their machine guns. So, how does it feel to be Yitro? See, how does it feel? Actually, be participating in God's final plan. But I believe that verse is a picture of our destiny, where we are headed, and how the age will end. That will be the verse played out at that time. All right. Isn't that cool? crazy. Yitro brings a burnt offering and other sacrifices to God, and Aaron and all the elders of Israel, and they come and eat together in the presence of God. But it is set up by Yitro rejoices to hear about all the good things the Lord had done for Israel. And in the Hebrew, it says tov. Whatever God did for Israel, and you all know what God did for Israel in the Exodus, the Bible says those were good things. That's not politically correct. How can drowning a whole army in an ocean without them getting a shot off, how can that be politically correct? It's overforce. Too much response. Politically incorrect. Too much force. You should have been nicer to the bad army. And he says, it says he delighted and that he rejoiced. And then he says, praise be to the God, the Lord, who rescued you from the hand of the Egyptians. And now I know that the Lord is greater, for he did this to those who had treated Israel arrogantly. See, this is how Israel's history starts, with somebody treating Israel arrogantly and God destroying them. Now, how is it looking these days in the world concerning people treating Israel arrogantly? Are we in this verse again? And what are some people going to do if God responds and starts helping Israel? They're going to say, that rotten God. He's not correct. He's not according to what I would have done. He's like that Bible thing. God is like that Bible thing. And God will destroy those who treat Israel arrogantly. And in the world today, is there anybody not treating Israel arrogantly? In the whole world. What nation is not treating Israel arrogantly? Now, we used to not, but for the last 7 years, we have. And so hopefully that'll end. But the UN, arrogant. The liberal, arrogant. It's always the same thing. Get rid of the Jew. So now let me tell you that on Temple Mount, all this trouble about Temple Mount, everywhere I read in the paper, it says, which is holy to Islam and Judaism. I am irritated. I get so upset. They don't include Marty. Why doesn't it say and to Christianity? Never says that. The reason why is because 99% of the church, it's not holy to them. Yerushalayim's not holy to them. Israel is not holy to them. Arrogant. This is Romans 11. Paul used two words for the church concerning Israel. Ignorant, arrogant, ignorant, arrogant, ignorant, arrogant. And after 1985 years of church history, it's still ignorant, arrogant. But the prophecies finally came true. Ignorant, arrogant, ignorant, arrogant, ignorant, arrogant. So what a shame that it doesn't say, which is holy, Temple Mount, which is holy to Islam and Judaism and Christianity. What a shame. So I want to tell the newspaper, it is holy to Islam and Judaism and Marty. I demand my rights. It must be holy to me. It must be holy to you because it is. So now what's your name? Yitro. Because you're a God-fearing, which brings up our next point. In the second part of chapter 18, we'll go into that next week, which is the blessing that Yitro brings then to Israel. But it says that he is a God-fearing man here. Well, we were at the Amalekites last week, and then when we get next week to the court system that is set up, in both places here, on both sides of this text, we have the fear of the Lord mentioned. And the Amalekites, remember, had no fear of the Lord, and God commanded them to be eliminated, and they were beaten there. And in this next text, it's going to be, do not fear man, but fear God who has all judgment. And so in these last days, where is the fear of the God of Israel? As Mike taught, where is Eliyahu and the fear of Eliyahu's God, Elijah's God? Where is the God of Elijah and the fear of him in these last days? And so we must be those that hold on to this book, which produces the fear of the Lord, which then produces reverence to Hashem and his plan, which makes you Yitro. Naaman, Ruth, Cornelius, Corny's house, where you got filled with the Spirit. So there's all these things in here about the common sense need of man in relationship to God. And in our world of today, there is almost none in the nations. There's almost none in the world. But the problem is there's almost none in the church. The fear of the Lord in the church and the Zionist love of God in the church. I'll end this message here because we can't go into the next part. And so because I am a God-fearing lover of Sion, Goy. As far as I know, I'm Goy. Right? And so I'm going to bring a sacrifice. And I'll guarantee you it'll be in the presence of God. In the presence of God, this takes place. Amen. Amen. Yavarekaka Adonai Vayishmareka. Yeir Adonai Panavaleka Vihunaka. Yiso Adonai Panavaleka Voyoseim Leka Shalom Bashem. Yeshua HaMashiach, Sarha Shalom. Amen. Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you and lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Prince of Peace, Jesus the Messiah. Amen. And amen. Shabbat shalom. My name is Yitro.